As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, coming off of Valentine's Day, a day when our culture focuses on the gift of love, the people in our lives who love us well, and those who we seek to love well, we remember that every good and perfect gift comes from the living God who is a God of love. And so would you hear these words from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Would you pray with me? And so, God of love, we are here this day to lift up your name. Because whenever we were still so far from you, you took the initiative to send your Son to come into our world, into our lives, and to bring us back to you by the greatest gift of love, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Thank you that you call us friends, that you call us sons and daughters. Thank you, God, that you would rather die than be without us. What wondrous love this is, that we would be completely loved by the one who knows us inside and out. And out of this great love that we have received, O God, it is our desire to love you back well. It is our desire to love one another in a way that reflects your heart of love that's been poured into us. And so as we sing to you, as we pray to you, as we encourage each other in your name, O God, would your love be the theme that holds us together? Would your love be the theme that sends us out into our community to let everyone know that they too are chosen, delighted in, and beloved? Our world could use more of this. We could use more of this. So let it happen in this place, God. You can do that because you are that. Have your way among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. We are continuing in our series that we've been in for a few weeks now on getting to know the heart of Jesus. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, our hearts long to encounter the presence and the power and the grace of Jesus, just as truly as the blind man encountered Christ that day. We are not here, God, because we just want some more information about you. We can get that in 1,000 different places. We are here, God, because our hearts long to connect with you, to encounter you, to hear from your heart to our hearts, to be changed by you. And so we invite your Spirit, O God, to move freely among us as we turn our hearts to your word. Would you help us, O God, hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you, O God, might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know how you see people more clearly the longer you walk alongside them. I think about my dad. And growing up as a kid, he was just my dad. And I was pretty sure that I knew my dad. He was goofy, generous, present. I loved my dad. And I figured that the way I saw my dad was really the fullness of what there was to see about my dad. And sometime in my mid-20s, I was invited to a retirement party for my dad. He was finishing off his career as a federal probation officer. And I sat in this banquet room and people came up and I listened to story after story about these people who really had probably spent more time with my dad than even I had spent with him. Those who worked with him day in and day out. And they told these stories in that room of this man who they saw as someone of deep compassion, that he shared with his colleagues when they were in need or when they were stressed, that he shared equally with his clients, those who were on probation, who needed someone to hear them out, to offer them some respect, give them some dignity. I heard all these stories of all of these ways that he had gone out of his way just to help people. My dad was highly respected. He wasn't just goofy. He was this man that was held in high esteem for 25 years. I really didn't know that about my dad. And starting that day, I began to see him more clearly. There was this depth to my dad that I hadn't noticed before. Today, as we continue to pursue the heart of Jesus, we see together that he wants us to be on a journey, a lifelong journey of seeing him more and more clearly, just the same. Jesus comes to Bethsaida, and some people, we don't know who they are, just some people, it says, bring to him a blind man, and they beg for Jesus to touch him. This story is quite similar to the story of the paralytic in Mark chapter 4. Do you remember that story? That's where there's this man who's laying on the side of the road because he cannot walk on his own. And it says, some people, the same language, some people see this man, pick up his mat, and bring it to Jesus. Here in this story, we don't see the blind man ask for Jesus. We don't hear him profess this great faith in the healing power of Jesus. We just see some people who see a blind man and take him by the hand and they say, we're bringing you to Jesus. Same thing happened with the paralytic. They just said, we don't really care what you want. We're taking you to where this guy Jesus is hanging out. They take him by the mat. They take this one by the hand. In both of these cases, the person who really desperately needs healing finds it because someone saw their need and took it upon themselves to bring them to Jesus. And that person's faith, the one who brought them, not the one who needed the healing, the one who brought them to Jesus, that person's faith was seen by Jesus as enough to heal the one who was in need. Isn't that cool? Jesus' heart is to see the care and compassion of his children. As we step out of our way to care deeply about those in our midst who need a touch from our Savior. And in response to our care for them, his heart is to touch them as well. Jesus's heart is to use our faith to help bring healing to others, even to those who may have no faith at all. That's his heart. So we must pause and ask ourselves, is there someone that God is looking to me to be the one who brings them into the presence of Jesus? I can do that through prayer. I can do that by being the one who takes them by the hand and brings them into this place right here with me. Who is it in your life right now, these days, who is in desperate need of a real touch from our Jesus? Who is it? If you don't know anyone in need of a touch of Jesus, we need to hang out with some more people, right? And as you go out of your way to bring these ones before him, Jesus will do something with that. Some way, somehow. So we ask, who am I bringing to Jesus? Who are we bringing to Jesus? Jesus then takes the blind man by the hand and he leads him out of that busy village square. Why does he do that? Can you imagine being that blind man on this day? Right there in the center of town on the day that the healing rabbi shows up. Can you imagine how noisy it would be in that place? Can you feel those crowds pressing in, trying to get a little bit of Jesus for themselves? When you're not able to see, all of your other senses become more intense. And so imagine the noise, imagine the touch of all these strangers pressing in. It would be absolutely overwhelming. And so Jesus takes the man by the hand and they start walking. And they keep walking until there's some peace and some space and some quiet. Until it can be just the two of them. Face to face. What is the heart of Jesus? You see, he could have used the healing of this blind man as a great spectacle, could he not? He could have used this man's weakness to put him front and center and then show the crowds just how awesome he was as a healer. Jesus has no intention of making this man's healing the big event of the day to get him some better press. He doesn't wait around for the crowd to double in size, building up the anticipation before he decides it's time to restore sight to the man. Nothing in this miracle is about Jesus trying to go and get attention for himself at the expense of the one who is vulnerable. It's never about the blind man being just used as a prop in Jesus's messianic agenda. Jesus takes this man who is overwhelmed by the noise and the crowds, and he leads him away to some place where he will only hear the voice of Jesus, where he will only feel the touch of Jesus. Do you see in that little detail how deeply Jesus cares about this man? He cares about the connection. He cares about the relationship they're going to share. He cares about the intimacy, just the two of them face to face. He cares about this moment that's not only going to open the man's eyes, but it is going to transform his heart. And so being led away from the chaos and the crowds and the noise and the demands where Jesus could have this guy all to himself for a while. Now the stage is set for him to see Jesus clearly. So what's Jesus' heart for us? It's the same. It's to find those places in our lives where he gets to just have us to himself for a while. Those places where we let Jesus lead us by the hand. Where we let Jesus take us away from the crowds and the chaos and the noise that clutters our lives and keeps us from being with him in those most intimate of places. His heart for us is the same. Jesus doesn't just want to use us. Jesus wants to be with us. He wants to share his presence with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to shower his goodness upon you. But we've got to let him lead us away to those places where everything else gets put aside and we just draw near to him. If we are not seeing Jesus more and more clearly as weeks go by and months go by and, God forbid, years go by, there is a good chance that we are not stepping away from the things that consume our lives just to be with him. What does your weekly rhythm with Jesus look like? In your Mondays to Fridays, where do you find yourself intentionally putting your hand out and letting Jesus lead you away from the noise and the busyness? As your pastor, I'm trying my hardest to create dozens of spaces for you to encounter Jesus in these kind of intentional spaces. From midweek moments that will find you right in your home online, worship in the round, discipleship groups, small groups, Bible study groups. There, I'm trying to make something for everyone. But everyone's got to choose for themselves. Where will I show up and let Jesus lead me by the hand to just get away from everything else and just be with him? Because we don't see Jesus by accident. We see him when we let him lead us to those places where everything else gets put aside so we can just hang out with our Jesus for a while. His heart is to be with you throughout your week. Is your heart to be with him in those same places too? And if our heart is there, then we ask, how are our weekly rhythms showing what our heart actually wants most of all? So they're all alone now. And Jesus gets to work. And it is a messy miracle. Jesus spits on his hands. I would try to imitate her right now, but you can imagine. Jesus spits on his hands. And he touches his saliva to the man's eyes. Now, we've seen in plenty of other miracles that that was not necessary. Jesus could just say to those eyes, be open, and they would be open. No, not in this case. In this case, he chose to swap some holy spit. I've been waiting all day to say that too. Isn't that great? That's the way he chose. What's that about? What's that about? Jesus' heart is to put himself all over us. Now, I know this already sounds weird to some of you, like, what? I know, it is weird. I felt weird writing it. It's weird. But his heart is to put himself all over us. Without trying to make you more uncomfortable than you already are, think for just a moment about the few people, and I do hope it's just a few people on this earth that you swap saliva with. If it's not just a few, let's meet this week. We'll talk. Who are those people? The person you love when you kiss. Sometimes your own child. Please not my child. Your own child when they got chocolate on their face and there's not a napkin around. Sometimes on accident, when you're talking really close to somebody else, but you've got to be really close to swap some spit saliva. It's from within us. And we don't share it with anyone who we don't see as part of us. Jesus gives this man a touch that he has within it himself. What's from inside of his being, he puts it on this man. This healing is intimate. There's no way around it. I was thinking, but is this a manly enough sermon for the guys? There's no way around. This is intimate. And it's vulnerable. And it's messy. And it's beautiful. Jesus' heart isn't just to stand at a distance in our lives and shout out, hey, get yourself together down there, would ya? No. His heart is to take us to some place where it's just you and him, and to give you himself completely so you might be changed fully. Changed by his real love. Changed by his real presence. Changed by his real touch. And it might be messy, and it might be awkward, and it might be vulnerable, because we are not used to someone wanting to be with us that badly. But it's honest. You are that desirable to Jesus. And even if it makes us uncomfortable, which perhaps it does, it is still true. That song that we just sang, How He Loves. The original song, the lyrics from John Mark McMillan, that part where it says, where heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, remember that line? That's already strange enough for some of you. Just wait, it gets better. The original version, he wrote, when heaven meets earth like a wet, sloppy kiss. And when David Crowder was mass producing this song for Christian music industry, they said, we need to tame that part down a bit because that's weird. We don't want to think about God with wet, sloppy kisses. It's too messy. It's too intimate. Even when it makes us squirm, that Jesus loves us for real, it's just true. It's a messy and a real kind of love, actually giving himself to us. It's real. It's not just something we have in our heads. It's real. So Jesus asked him, can you see anything? This is unlike any other miracle Jesus performs, even still. All the other miracles, Jesus knows good and well that the person that he just healed is fully healed. Jesus speaks with confidence when he heals. Get up and walk. Come out of that grave. Your faith has made you well. This time, did it work? And the man's response, sort of. I see some people, but they're fuzzy. They look like trees. What? What do you do with that? Did Jesus mess up? Did Jesus forget to say the magic words just right this time? Did he not hold his tongue in just the right place? What's up with this slightly lacking miracle? Jesus lays his hands on the man's eyes again, and he holds them there. And he looks intently at this one that he loves. And it says, now, he sees everything clearly. A second touch did the trick. Now, what's that about? Is it that Jesus was unable to heal with just one touch? Or is Jesus showing us something about his heart yet again? The second option is always the right option. Notice where this story falls in the full Gospel of Mark. If you opened your Bible to read the story with me, you would already have a heads up. Just before this happens with the blind man, just before in Mark chapter 8, the disciples have already watched Jesus. They've just watched Jesus feed 4,000 people. Before he fed 4,000 people, he had already fed 5,000 people. And then we find them right before this story in a boat together. And they realize, oh my goodness, we don't have any bread. And Jesus tells them, he says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And the disciples start to talk amongst themselves. They say, oh, he must be worried because we don't have any bread. This is the same guy who over a few days has just fed over 10,000 people with next to nothing when it comes to bread. And the disciples are right there with him the whole entire time, and they are still not seeing clearly who he is and what his heart is about. Right after this blind man sees, Jesus then pulls his disciples aside and he says, who do you say that I am? Now you know this part, right? And this is when Peter speaks up and he says, I know, you're the Messiah. And they're like, bingo, Peter, you got it. Now you're starting to see. This is the one that God has promised us would come to save us. Bingo, good, your eyes are open. And right after that, still in Mark 8, Jesus says, by the way, I'm gonna suffer. I'm gonna be rejected, I'm gonna be mocked, and I am going to be killed. And Peter says, no way, Jesus. Not on my watch. We're not looking for a suffering Messiah. Oh, Peter, though you see Jesus, he's still kind of a tree. It's not yet clear. But day by day, meal by meal, sermon by sermon, touch by touch, hanging with Jesus, soon enough, Peter and the others will start to see him more and more clearly. You see, this life with Jesus stuff, it doesn't happen with just one touch. Not for the blind man and not for the blind disciples. We don't become Jesus' disciples after one good sermon. That would be awesome, though. We don't become Jesus' disciples after one good healing episode in my life. One good worship service isn't gonna do it. And one great Bible study isn't the end all. Seeing clearly comes touch by touch by touch by touch. You want to know Jesus for real? You want to see all there is to see of Jesus? Keep coming to him. Day by day. Your whole life long. If you think, well, I'm 75, I've followed my whole life, there's nothing more to see. Wrong. Did you forget he's God? There is so much more to see. Do you want to know Jesus more this week than you did last week? Let him take you by the hand and sit in his presence until he has touched your heart anew. What is Jesus' heart? It's that our hearts would be on a journey, a real journey, an intentional journey, a lifelong journey. That we would never get comfortable thinking that we already know all there is to know about him, or at least enough to get me to heaven. But that we would be always hungry, always desperate to know him even more so we can love him even better. His heart is that we would sneak away with him day by day and let him see us in our most vulnerable places. Let him give himself, his power and his grace to us again and again and again. His heart for us is that we would keep our own hearts open as he shows us more of who he is, even when his agenda doesn't align with our agendas. His heart is that we would grow into it, even when he makes us rethink everything. I ask you this morning, how are you seeing Jesus more clearly these days? What are you seeing about Jesus that you've never seen before? If he looks just the same to you as he looked 10 years ago, why is that? Oh, there's so much more to see. How are you staying so close to Jesus that you don't miss his touch? What is he wanting you to see in a way that you've never seen it before? Who is he wanting you to see in a way that you've never seen them before? Touch by touch, day by day, in the presence of Jesus. That is the spiritual journey. That is his heart for you. Will you dare bring your heart to him this week? Not just come back next Sunday, but all the days between here and there. If you want to see Jesus and all the people around us more clearly, it will happen touch by touch by touch. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, you've shown us your heart for us, to have those moments where you have us to yourself, to have those moments when we are just totally our vulnerable selves in front of you, to share the fullness of what's inside of you with us, that we might share the fullness of what's inside of us with you. That we wouldn't look for the one-hit wonder, but that we would give our lives to an everyday journey being led hand in hand by our Jesus. That's your heart. Here's our hearts, Jesus. In this quiet moment, we tell you what our response is to your invitation. Help us see you more clearly, so we can love you more fully. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.